Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Dual Screams podcast. Yes, it's Halloween is upon us, or the Halloween season, and we're covering all things spooky, scary, creepy, horrifying, etc. Returning to the podcast this week is our good friend Saverio Capurruso, CEO of Troglobytes Games and developer of The Kinmen Remedy, the most blasphemous, diabolical, and insane management game ever created. How's it going, buddy? Welcome back to the show. How you been?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hi, Andreas. Yeah, quite good. We cannot complain. We're exciting also for the release of the announcement, you know, of the new game. Yes, the most blasphemous diabolic game, management game ever created. We hope so. So it's called The Kinmen Remedy.
Yeah, so I think the first thing I want to ask you is, like, what is wrong with you people?
Nothing. No, I don't think. I don't.
Who hurt you? Why do you make games like this? What's going on?
What do you mean? Why should? First of all, why we should not? And second, why we should not? No. It's like, you know, Tarantino said, because people won't see the blood, the gushing out.
So. This is a right up my alley. Like, you know, but you know, I was playing the demo like a little while ago before we dive into this. Do you think a game like this could have been made like 30 years ago?
Depends where. Yes, for me, yes. I mean, you know, Doom was splattering things as well. Here there are other kind of gore, I don't know how to say.
I mean, gore is one thing. Visuals. Like, you know, I grew up playing horror games and watching horror movies, but this, like, you're killing people and then experimenting on them. So I think that's like, do you think we could have had that like a long time ago? Like that kind of gameplay?
Look, it was existing, I think, in reality. Some people made it for real, so we made it a game.
Right.
Okay, of course, I don't want people to stop at the first, the first visual of the game. But you will, you. There is an intro, which is which explains all the reason of this person, which of course is not good in his mind. I'm not justifying.
Right, of course.
Let's say,
of course.
What if? Okay, it's a what if. Mm-hmm. So we have this doctor, super genius, anesthesiologist, and chemistry, and let's say like the best doctor in the world. And he find out, let's say by chance, by whatever you want, that if the human body is properly stimulated, tortured, so if you make this practice, the human body creates like a system of to reduce this pain. Okay, so there are some substances that human body produce to reduce the stimulus of the pain. So he says, okay, if I have more of this material, I put everything together, I'm a super chemistry, I can make, you know, the super, we call remedy,
right?
Let's say this substance, this medicine, will be the, I don't know, like discover or super anesthesia. Okay, sorry for me finding the words.
Right,
super anesthesia.
Okay.
So you say, okay, let's try torturing a few people for the good of the entire world.
Yeah. I mean, all the name of science, right? Isn't that the idea?
Yes.
Science comes first.
Exactly.
We're all just lab rats to...
I didn't make this idea. Someone else did it. We just started applying to a game. But in the story, of course, things that don't go as predicted. No, let's say his wicked actions are discovered. So he's not anymore this doctor, super famous, he's disgraced, disbarred, I think is the correct word.
Yes.
The only job that he finds is in a prison, like on an island called Thompson Island. Okay, just okay. So what he does in the prison, of course, he says, okay, I was doing on some people, but here there are inmates, they are already in the prison. So those are the scum of the really of humanity. Those are criminals. I mean, they should pay for what they've done, but let's say have science. Let's have them helping science. So
it's a little guilt-free. He can, you know, there's people who morally, like, he believes don't deserve to live.
Exactly.
And you know, we might as well use them.
They already refused that society. Exactly. So those are, let's say, moral free. Why not? And to help him, of course, this the idea of the doctor torturing people and making experiments is taken by reality. And to help him, there is this Sister Anna, which is the, let's say, is the partner in crime, who is already also, sorry, it's also inspired by reality, by the reality. I mean, there were some nurses and sisters that were killing people, old elderly especially, because they are, you know, they are sending those people to God because they say so. And there are many episodes of those, you know, serial killer, basically, you know, white serial killer. And we introduced this this kind of helper.
Yeah, and she believes it's Sister Anna. She believes she's doing the work of God by helping the doctor.
Of course.
Which is great. So let's kind of walk through what the core gameplay loop looks like. How does the day-to-day, because it is a management game, and there's different things happening at once. You got to manage both the doctor and the sister. They have different responsibilities and duties and things to keep in check and take care of. Walk us through what that looks like.
So it's not day by day, but it's also day by day and night by night.
Day and night, yes.
There is, during the day, the doctor prepares pills, and the sister decides or not to, let's say, you play two characters anyway. So you decide to poison the pills or not to poison the pills, which means they will kill or heal, cure the inmates. Okay, they make a queue basically. They are serving, administering pills. The good thing is that you have to balance the number of killing and the number of healing, because your reputation will grow up. More reputation in the jail, in the prison, sorry, in the infirmary of the prison, will bring you to buy more equipment, like a better chemical desk, more chemical desks, more dispenser, drips, more ingredients, better ingredients that will bring you more reputation. And why you have to kill people. This is the balance that you have to find. So why to kill people? Because you need to study dead bodies to proceed a bit with your reports, with your research. But the most for me, it was, let's say, I don't say funny to find, but let's say intriguing to find how to have a living person on your torture table. So, well, you have to rig the execution. So this is the part where, okay, we were a bit inspired by the Green Mile. The movie and the book, where there is the execution on the electric chair. Let's say the game is in fictional 50s in the USA, in the States. So, you know, like in the book, like in the movie, you can also, let's say, there is this execution by electric chair, electrocution, I think, sorry.
Yeah, you're
what's
right.
Happened?
Electric chair. Yeah.
So what you do basically, you rig the execution. You made everything that looks like the person, the inmate, the sentence to death is death. Dead,
You're
indeed.
faking the death, basically. So,
Exactly. Thank you. You faked the death. How you call someone to low to lower the
Yeah,
voltage of
that's
the
really
chair?
comical. Like, there's a person that you don't really like,
Yes.
but they're you need them to
Yes.
lower the voltage so you can have a living subject to later test on.
At the same time, you have to provide something like a drug to resist. So let's say to faint at the last moment. So basically, those people are suffering on the electric chair. Everybody thinks they're dead, but okay, you say okay, they're dead. I will bring them in the morgue, but those people, they will wake up tied to your torture rack or torture table, and you do different kind. You perform different kind of treatments.
What,
Different part of the body, different
right.
tools, different part of the body.
What do the various like upgrades look like? Because I know that a key part is you got to keep your reputation up so you keep getting people who want to go to the infirmary for your aid so you can help them. And then over time, you're able to get better equipment. What does that piece look like in the game? Like what levels up, what gets better, what becomes more streamlined, what systems do these become more gruesome, or are there like other ways of, is it always poisoning people? How does the upgrades fit into the day-to-day stuff?
So to kill people, you always because it's a characteristic of those kind of serial killer, you always use poison. So I mean, you produce better equip you have better equipment to produce items that will give you more reputation. But anyway, you have to poison. Sometimes you have to poison someone because you need their bodies in the morgue to study. Also, you are ruled by 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the night. So, the chemical desk and other machines become more efficient. They produce more, faster, and more ingredients. Let's say more products. Basically, you have to deal with some tasks. You can deal with some tasks better. At the same time, also, you have to remember that tomorrow there is the execution, so I have to put the drug to the sentence to death, else I will
So many
lose.
people have to die. It's like every day there's an execution.
Let me think. I think 20 by electric chair, and then 22 to be tortured, and then I don't know. I think 160. You have to kill
Man.
160 over the whole game. Yeah, it's a big jail,
A lot of
but
crazy. That's a lot
it's
of
a
fucked
lot.
up people in the jail.
Yes, the funny thing is that we want to put to let's say that you win eventually the Nobel Prize, so your reputation, the reputation of Dr. Kinderman, is reinstated, but nobody knows to at which price,
Right.
because nobody know that he was killing people, he was tortured. Nobody knows basically.
I
So
just love how there's a jail full of what sounds like the most violent criminals, and they're not already killing each other every day.
yes, we were saying yes. In one version of the game, we wanted to give a pill to make them crazy. So
Oh, wow.
the day after, they knife each other. So you say, okay, I give a pill, someone.
That's a freebie. That's a free body you can experiment on.
Yes, but basically, it was difficult. For this kind of management game to have the camera in that moment when those people are killing, also you could lose those moments, you could lose the counting of bodies that you need. And so we prefer this more classical way. It's also funny, it's ironic, it's dark humor because
It
sometimes something.
is. It is. I mean, it helps that there's a very like silly sounding
Yes.
soundtrack playing in the background, and the animation of people just collapsing and dying 5 seconds after taking a pill, and no one seems to care. There's
Yes,
a
because
line forming, and like one out of four people are dropping dead, and that's okay. It's fine.
they
I'll
could
have
be
what
dead
he's
for any
having.
reason. they were sick anyway. You give a pill, okay, they died. So they were sick. And really, nobody has the means to study why. And you are the resident doctor. I mean, everybody was, what's up? It's dead. It's, he had a problem, whatever. I mean, when you have the power to say why someone, something yeah. happens, everybody believes you. Moreover, you know, in an island, in a jail, you know, those kind. Okay, it's a dark humor also because the guards, they don't give a shit, basically.
No, and they're also like no, in on it.
They're smoking.
They don't care. Yeah.
They're smoking.
Like, there, as far as they know, the less people to manage, the better.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there are all those, you know, small details that, according to they characterize, you know, the life of this jail and the dark humor that there is behind. Yes. So.
Where did the idea come from? Because I feel like, you know, having played a game like Ravenous Devils, and I love that game, this seems like a nice build off of that. And that game, it's a very similar, you're Sweeney Todd, you're killing people and turning them into meat pies, and also selling their clothes and other things. This seems like a nice evolution from that gameplay concept. Where did the initial design and the idea come from?
No, indeed, we want to. We saw the success of Ravenous Devils. We saw also as a studio, it's a quite a sustainable project because we need less than 1 year to produce a game like that, and eventually next time we will need even less time. So it's a game we want to make on a regular basis, let's say. So yeah, we said, okay, let's try this shot. And also, you know, because it's a game that everybody can understand, everybody, hopefully, of course, everybody can understand, very simple. You can play only with just with the mouse. You don't need any button, nothing, just with the click of the mouse, perhaps the wheel to go up and down to zoom if you want. But basically, is a very, I mean, a game for everyone. There is a message behind, you know, the one that I said before. And we have been also lucky to publish the game with the 3D Realms. If you saw the great relaunch they had with many, many games like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, we are basically we're working closely with them to publish the game. So
what is because I think you guys kind of have a corner on the market, because I don't know of any other games that are like this like kind of dark comedy horror management sim.
I know there are some.
Like, do other ones exist? Because I think of Ravenous Devils and then this come to mind immediately. But
I think they don't have the same. They don't have the dark humor. Are mostly splattery and gorish. Like, I didn't not play those games, but by the trailer, by some screenshot. First of all, I haven't seen so much. Perhaps two or three. But they lack, perhaps, I'm sorry if the devs, in my ignorance, let's say, I think there is no the same kind of narrative or, again, dark humor. That really is like that, okay, it's an aspect of our game. And there are things also, you know, we have also cutscene. It's not just, okay, I have this routine. No, there are some characters, stories. They intervene while you are playing. You know, there is the director, the daughter of the director, the warden, sorry, warden, the daughter of the warden. There is also a kid nearby the prison, which is
a very
interesting story. There is a so-called, let's say, it's in the 50s, so there is also space for racism. And is cured. Can imagine or you cannot imagine. I mean, I invite people to play at least to check the game, and you will see how the racism is cured somehow. And
somehow.
And many other what the fuck moment. because really, I mean, you know, it's what in Ravenous Devil, there were also moments, moments like that.
It's also a really fun game to watch. Like playing it is one thing, but I enjoy watching people play these kind of games because, you know, it's, you get strong reactions. It can be so silly sometimes, again, with the way you handle the soundtrack and the animation with the subject matter. Like your design choices kind of amplify the dark comedy of it all, and it makes it very entertaining. And you wouldn't think, like, a really serious topic like human experimentation and, you know, and murder and corruption and all these things can be delivered in a very sort of silly way, but it can still be meaningful and have an impact on those who are watching.
Yeah, it's a comedy. I mean, we invite people, first of all. We know someone that can say, okay, you're crazy, you go in a mental asylum and stuff like that. I mean, first of all, it's a creation of a fiction. You can say, yeah, based on real things. So it's like you read a book about real things, and I don't think the author should go in a mental asylum. There is a story behind. There is, you know, the value of the, now you want to go philosophic, the value of the human life. You know, I kill 100 to save 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of things, of course, what we want to deliver, it's a product, it's a game, so it's treated with a light, with some, again, comedy, humor. And I really hope that if you see the screenshot, the image, the trailer, and you don't like this kind of game, you buy the game just to say you're crazy, please do not buy, because, you know, sometimes, in my opinion, there are some people, they are gamers. They're gamers, and they buy everything because they say, okay, I can judge everything. I can judge everything because I have the right to do, because I'm a gamer. Well, not everyone is able to understand everything, because simply right. it's not in your, it's like now you want, you know, someone that watches movies about war, suddenly you have to see all the romance stories, and simply you could appreciate or you could not, but we'll never say in a romance story it's bad movie, it's a bad movie because there is no war. No, because it's a romance story. I mean,
but love is war, though.
Yeah, also, you know, sorry. Okay,
so love is a battlefield.
So, okay, let's take another example. No, you see National Geographic, and you say, well, there are no kids. There are no, you know, they don't talk
There's
about
no, the animals
education.
Don't talk. They're not like
animals.
Disney.
They don't talk. Exactly, animals don't talk.
They're not like Disney lions. They don't talk to each other.
Yes, I mean, so if it's not a game for you, so, if you decide, just don't. Ignore it. Move over. We are not offended. Let's say it's wiser. Let's say, okay, it's not the product for me. I do every time. It's a game that I cannot totally judge, understand, and everything. So I don't buy to judge and say I don't like it. It's like, you know, meat for vegetarian. Don't eat meat. It's the same thing. It's just simple. I'm vegetarian anyway. But just to say, I don't
oh,
go
are
in the
you?
restaurant.
Is that...
yes.
I no
yes.
idea.
But I don't go in the restaurant and they say, I don't like this restaurant because of... No, I don't go. Simple.
You just don't go.
For me.
And
no.
Also, like, your games don't cost like a lot of money. Your games are always very moderately priced, also.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah. Like, I think I could buy like your entire library for less than what I spend on lunch, maybe.
Yes. Sometimes, yes. Yes, yes.
What's the response been like? Because you've had the demo out there for quite some time. The game is coming, I think, on November 16th, right? It's like about a month away or so. Is that still the date? So what's it been like seeing people play the game and experience it and get, you know, a feel of what it's all about?
I had the chance, unfortunately, not to see so many videos on Twitch, but I saw some people, let's say they enjoyed the game. Except, you know, perhaps one over 20 that says, Oh no, oh my god, what's happening? You know, there is no blood at the start, there is nothing at the start. Also the animation, it's everything, it's masked, it's very, you don't see blood in the demo. In the real game, I think yes, you just see corpses and stuff like that. I mean, there are games where there is blood everywhere. And the same people they play those games with blood after they see this game, they can say, oh no, I cannot stand it. You know, it happens, you know. So
that's interesting how they can play another gory game and be fine,
yes,
but your game,
no.
it's like,
No,
I can't do this.
I can't
This is
because
too
you know,
much even for me.
yes, I think so. I'm puzzled sometimes, but you know,
what is something you learned about yourself in creating games like this?
Look, I in general I found myself with all the good and the bad let's say things. Let's say that I had to direct, for instance, the voice acting. You know, I mean, in my life, I mean, in my education, nobody told me, okay, one day and now you have to learn, or you have to say to an actor how to you know, to interpret it, this
Right.
character of this game.
Say
So,
it this way.
and I was like, to give direction, to direct a person that perhaps has 15 years of voice acting. And you have to say to this person, 15 years voice acting, how you envision this character in that moment. Yes, I mean, it's not something that I learned. Sorry, perhaps the answer is not proper, but you know, something that you are sure you have to do it because.
Yeah, and
you know.
I guess it took you by surprise because you didn't expect that to be part of your job. But you know, you think about the game, the development, the code, the gameplay, the nuts and bolts. But then when it comes to the creative, like the voice acting bit, I think, oh, we'll hire someone that knows what they're doing. It'll be easy. It'll be fine. They'll get it in one take. And then
look,
you find yourself like, this isn't, and
if you
it's
are
different in
person,
here.
Yes. If you definitely want, but if you are another person, if I tell you, for instance, to Andreas, I tell to Andreas how it should be this character so he can communicate to the voice actor, perhaps Andreas will miss something and will not do it properly. Even if we have a writer who wrote everything, la la, but of course, developing the game, you see something changes a bit, and you have to tell Andreas, in the way that is going to tell the voice actor. So sometimes you have to direct, direct directly. You must be the person in touch with the voice actor, with the artist, anyway, with the performer, and like this, many other things. So yes, I am the only one in my team who does it because other people are busy, and yes, and then I mean it's fun. I think nobody says because there are few indie games that are perhaps they have a voice acting. Now people will kill me for this statement, but not every time you see you know voice acting in the game. Yes, you have to say to a person with more experience than you how to do his job,
right?
Or her job. I mean, it's
Is
funny.
there a lot? Do you get a lot of pushback sometimes when you're like, when you're trying to explain to someone, hey, like your delivery isn't quite what I'm imagining or what
More
I
than
want it to
expected,
be?
more than expected.
And what are those conversations like?
No, we had for other games, and we're called. I was, let's say, for other games, really, I mean, in the past, I think some actress, they could not get angry. And I said, but you can't, no, they cannot make the voice they are angry or powerful. Like, you know, like, I can say, like an Italian driver stuck in the middle of traffic in Rome, you know, how many anger this person is able to. But with the reason, not just you know, screaming like a crazy person, but you know, and I noticed some actors, but I mean some actors, they're not able to do it because yeah, some of them they work for more, I think, for mobile games, And they do, hello, good, you know, that's good, go on, you know, those kind of things, not cheerfully.
Right. They don't practice that sort of range. To like,
yeah, the,
like
yeah,
the idea of rage or anger
no,
doesn't come up
no.
in there.
No. Yes, exactly. Okay. Was some performance we had in the past, and then we move over to other actors. I mean, we never use those people. They're not in our games, credit in our games, because we did not use their job. But really, I was puzzled to say, okay, for me, an actor should be able more or less to do everything. So, you know, stuff like that.
How did 3D Realms get involved? Because you did mention them earlier in the conversation. Was it, did they happen to see your game at a convention, or was it like a communication you already had between them? How did they become your publisher?
So
for this title?
We last year in Germany, I went in Germany to the Gamescom and had a conversation with the mini publisher about our games, what we are producing, what we are doing. So basically, the Kingdom Remedy caught the attention of 3D Realms people. And yeah, because basically they don't have a management game like that. In my opinion, they have many shooters, they have other kind of games. There is no management game like that. Anyway, the thematics are very interesting. They find that the funding really appealing. And also, with their help, we can also, you know, bundle the game with Ravenous Devils in various way. I think would be no, how do you say, no obstacles in these operations.
Right.
And I cannot say more next time, next
of course, yeah,
podcast.
What is because you guys have been on both, you've self-published your own titles in the past, and I think you've published other people's games as well, if I'm not mistaken, not just your own projects, and now you're someone's coming in to publish. What's changed in that dynamic now that you have someone that's publishing your game for a change? What do they bring to the table that makes the process easier for you or less stressful when you were
no stressful always
oh
always
yeah
stressful.
I said less stressful.
No, okay. Less stressful. Okay, I would say, okay, no, it's not equal. Okay, different stressful. It's a different kind of stress. It's a
different kind of stress.
Yes. So first of all, you when we publish a game, within brackets, sorry, I take opportunity, we are publishing now Death Noodle Deliver, which is the demo. It's available on Steam right now for the Steam Next Fest.
Did you say Death Nude Deliver?
Yes.
Oh,
when you
okay.
deliver noodles and you die
oh,
eventually.
Noodles.
Noodle. Ah, no, nude. Sorry. No. Okay. Oh, okay. This is next game. Noodle.
That's the DLC. I just gave you a free idea.
This is, yes. Okay. Thank you. No, I said noodles clearly. Of course, no.
It's just my sick, twisted brain that turned it into that.
So that's, and then you don't make video games, you see.
Right,
so
correct.
It's Death Noodles Delivery. So it's a game that we are publishing for some Italian devs, friend of ours. So we are publishing their game. So it means we're using a marketing company. I think we will use another PR agency as well. Okay. And then at the same time, we are published by another entity. So they use their marketing agency. And, you know, we have to tell people give assets to our agency. And then they ask us to give assets and material to the other one, and more or less we have roadmaps to follow and stuff like that. Yes, I mean, it's to stay a bit in the middle, but it's okay for us, for the Kingdom Remedy to have the game published, because There is, first of all, trade unions. I think it's quite, I mean, it's, not I think, it's a quite important.
I mean, they've been around for years. They're a pretty
30,
big label,
30,
yeah.
Or 30 or 35 years. I mean, I was playing their games. Everybody, I think,
of course,
played at
yeah.
least once. Their games were very, very happy. So, you know, it's also how a big company works, basically. Because we have a magnitude, of course, they have another one. Okay. So, different standards, different stress.
Of course. I just love that it's still stressful no matter which way it cuts. Either if you're publishing your own game or you're publishing someone else's game or someone's publishing your game, it's stress all over the place.
Oh, no.
How do you manage your stress?
No,
by killing people and experimenting on their bodies.
And experiments indeed my in my how do you say my cellar in my basement. I don't have a basement, not yet, but I mean, we need one.
What are your, like, the people in your social circle that aren't involved in game development or even gamers, how do they feel when they see the kind of things you work on and the projects you put together?
You know that lately I have no, because I'm very, very busy working, and also many, many friends of mine are in Italy. I live in Spain, but I'm Italian, if nobody guessed, no? So far, I live in Spain. So everybody in Spain, all my friends in Spain, they know that I make video games. Some people, they watch it and they say, ah, okay, something. Like, they know it's a game, and they know, you know, like, I mean, it's, you know, they don't. They say, ah, it's interesting, the visual. So they are a bit technical people. So they see, they watch all the technical side, not the contents, so if it is good or not. They don't care, basically. And other people in Italy, for me, there is, I can tell, there is 90% that will say, oh, you make video games. This is cultural, I'm sorry. I mean, okay, and but can you find a better job? I mean, can you find a real job? You know, because directing and the creating and making Excel table and testing and this is not a job. Yeah. You have to make Excel table for a real company to work. Yeah. If you make for your
so
project, you are an idiot. Yes. So yeah, always like a bit of pity saying, but you know, I mean, really, they're worried. I mean, what's wrong with you? I mean, something like that. No?
Well, that's
not because I make this video game. I make video game
just in general, yeah. Like, to them,
yes,
it's like, what is this baby job you're doing? Like, shouldn't you?
Yes.
When are you going to grow up and get a real job?
Yes. And okay, the other part of the people say, okay, they know the job, they know the drill, and that's all. There are, this is depends also by the really the age.
Right.
I was speaking with some people that were like over 60, and basically had a long conversation about, you know, what a video game should teach, or really what should teach. No educational things, no killing, no blood, and so on and so on.
So they think that games should be more of an educational tool than for entertainment?
Yes.
Is that what the perspective is?
Yes, like, you know, and say, no, a game could be whatever it's request to be. Could be coordination, could be a game of memory, could be a game of coordination, strategy, you know, social game, could be a social game, could be, you know, competition, could be everything. I mean, because what they see, of course, is Doom, Mortal Kombat, and stuff like that, and my games. And of course, why are the gamers so violent? All of them, there are many aspects because they are not playing games,
right?
You know, it's and they say, ah, okay, but you know, when people buy those things, yes,
they do.
They do. I mean,
a whole lot,
and a lot
of them
is a market. I mean, more money than they told me some years ago.
I mean,
more
it's more than like music and movies, I think, and television combined at this point, which is crazy to think that that's a real statistic. And like, I'm wondering, like, for you, how you got into this field when culturally in Italy, it's not as not as big as it is in Japan or United States. Like the idea of wanting to go into game development, like
so,
what nurtured that in you? Given that in Italy, it's not a huge thing.
So we need another episode of a podcast to explain everything.
Your origin story.
No, it's not my origin story. It's what Italy is culturally and what, you know, it's really culture. I think our, I don't want to be political, but let's say some values, Italian values, they really fucked up the country. For a lot of time still, and those are the consequences. I mean, for instance, I have some friends in Italy, in the south, which is, for who knows the situation, the south of Italy, it's, you know, a bit cut out historically for many reasons by from the north. In the south, they were making video games for PlayStation, for PC, for Flash, when it was Flash.
Okay.
Many years ago, like 20, almost 22 years ago, there is a game for PC that at the time, they were saying even Chinese and Russian will buy this game because, you know, there was no internet almost. There was internet. Right. Internet was there, but
in
of course.
In its infancy at that point, yeah.
Yes. I mean, but everything, you know. So in this time, at that time, those friends of mine, they were making video games. Okay, they were making it for, you know, so until today, they're still making. I had a different background, totally different background. I was the only thing that I was doing within brackets was for me, I think, a likely period without computer at all. I can claim. I don't know what is a console war. I don't care.
Right.
I don't really don't care. It's a tool to play. Don't
exactly,
say which one is better.
Yeah.
I don't really. When people so what's happened? That basically, I was playing Dungeons and Dragons, Cthulhu, you know, paper and pen, and there are statistics. This is a part of social, how to speak with people, blah 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 blah. What's happened? That I moved in after I of course my computer, my, you know, my bullshits as well. I was playing also video game. So when I moved in Spain for other reason. My friend say, look, can you check the fiscal situation in Spain? Because, you know, open a company in Italy, it will cost a lot, you know, just only fiscal reason. And also a bit cultural, I didn't know. So when I start to check the video game industry, and I was doing another job, I really noticed that Spain was... But you know, they want really to make video game. I mean, really, there were school, there were many schools.
Like a direct opposite, really, of what you were experiencing in Italy.
Yes, there was really a strong, what do you say, a strong habitat for this kind of industry. And still, there is, it's growing. And Italy, basically, they catch this train in Spain. But in Italy, I don't know how to say because someone did it, lost the train of video games. Really lost it. I mean, it was something that was passing by and say, okay, what you do these things and what are from? I mean, what are for? Sorry.
Right.
Why? Find a normal job. Meanwhile, here there was a, let's say, dream again to produce it, to do what you want. You can see Poland. Poland, I mean, now it's a 7 country that sells video game. After Japan, USA, UK, Germany, the 7 country. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have data, I guess I saw some years ago, Spain was the 12th country, something like it. Italy is 27, somewhere. First of all, it's due to the culture that we have, no? You know, because, you know, education, you should make education, you should make education. Yes, you cannot shoot with a shotgun a zombie in the face or something like that, because we'll bring
that,
you...
But that teaches you how to prepare for a zombie apocalypse.
Exactly, but also it depends which kind of game it is, because it could be strategical, could be whatever.
Right.
Could be action, could be, you know, requiring coordination.
Mm-hmm.
But in Italy, it simply was not like that. I mean, look the IP. Look at the IP, Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Pinocchio has been taken. I don't say stolen, has been taken. by Korean, they made the Lies of P.
Yeah. And that's like, I want to say
Dante.
Dante's
Inferno.
Dante's Inferno, another amazing game. But
it's an Italian story.
Lies of P, I think, is like one of the best games of the year that's ever come
fucked
out.
Up. I mean, we have that P, we have in the house. I mean, and someone, of course, who is able to make video games, they say stop with those Chinese things that nobody understands, because it's inside the culture is Chinese culture, it's Korean. Let's make Pinocchio, okay? Let's make which I think it's a nice IP, all the story, just of course transform the video game. I mean, I like to, because also I know the devs of Blasphemous, or Blasphemous.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are great, yeah.
I know them, what they did, they take something cultural, that is the Sevilla procession, la processione, sorry, I don't know how to say in English.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a video game. And I can tell you, I was always with my, really, it's not that I made it up now. I remember I was speaking with my friends, what about making a game where you are, you know, one of these person from this march, you know, from the procession, and you beat other people, you are the person who beats these people during the march, because they have a nice iconography, they have a nice dress, they have really something.
All those, like, the religious, like, iconography, all those things,
Now imagine that I need money, and I'm in Italy, I need money, and I go to the bank, and say, I want to make a video game. What is a new video game about? Is that you take priests and you shatter the red with the cross of priests, no? They will call the police immediately.
They're gonna call the Vatican, is what they're gonna do.
Yes. You cannot produce a game like that. You really will find some bigots under your balcony.
God.
Really? What are you doing? I mean, while you know the Vatican, what it does, and everything, what's going on? I mean, in Spain, no, it's the game is really at the limit of blasphemy, and
the game is literally called, like,
it's called blasphemy. I know it's blasphemy. I mean, so in Italy, this thing was not possible at all. Not possible. And I was thinking of it. I don't want to take any credit, nothing. I was thinking with Luciano, a friend of mine, my colleague in the team, 20 years ago, drinking a beer, we were watching, I don't know, this thing come out. We had the idea, I mean, guess, imagine to kill those people in some way, you know? I know, was this idea. And when I show also to the devs of Blasphemous, they say, you know, that these things happen also in the south of Italy. Look at this march in Tarento, look at the march in Matera, in the south of Italy, you can see Processione Italia, you will see fine lot of things. And they were like this, oh, nice, you know, idea for the next one.
Very encouraging, yeah, they're like, yes, this is great. Yes.
So yeah, that was Italy 20 years ago, nowadays it's a bit more, it's of course more open,
right,
more,
yeah. I would imagine.
Still.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I was in Italy for the first time in March of this year. I went to Rome, Florence, and Venice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was there for about 10 days, and I did all the tourist stuff. And I don't recall seeing, like, any, like, electronics store or, like, some place that would, or, like, an advertisement for anything. And I'm now realizing it, like, none of that. Yeah. Like, I can imagine Venice, it's very, you know, old country, you know, it's has a very specific vibe of it, but like Rome, don't recall seeing any bus ads or any subway ads or nothing or a billboard.
No, really. No, but neither AAA, neither AAA, you know. Now we cannot a bit end. That's why we need another episode of the podcast.
Yeah, we should get you and then the Blasphemous devs to do a little, like,
first
roundtable discussion.
What's happened that there are, there are some, first of all, the Italian, the player plays only the, you know, two games of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
because you need two games of soccer.
Right, of course.
Two, not one. The other one is for... you know, race car or something, which in Italian we have Assetto Corsa, which is the industry in Italy. I mean, this one, but also, you know, there are people that work there. there, and then very few production, high level. All the other indies, first of all, are not, I mean, nobody knows, nobody buys indie games in Italy. There are very, very few. Respect to Spain, there is a low culture for indie games. And also, when we speak with publishers and stuff like that, well, they, in our case, no. But they say we go, we would like to localize the game in Turkish before localizing in Italian. Because in Italy, nobody buys indie games.
There's a stronger market in Turkey in compared Turkey. To Italy. Wow.
Yes. And I was like this. I mean, Turkey, seriously, yes. And they say, we don't spend money for Italian localization. If it arrives pro bono, yes, but we don't. Really, Turkey is better than Italy in buying indie games. And I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know. It's some years ago they told me. It's still like that. Target's growing market, respect Italy. I don't know Greece, but I don't know other countries. I mean, but France.
Yeah, Greece.
Yes,
I don't know. Maybe. Because I have a lot of my family in Greece, and I'm wondering. Like some of them do, but I feel like, again, as they got older, they, it's like, well, I put the childish things away because I'm no longer a child, and I'm like, I never put those. Those things away. They're still a huge part of my life. So yeah, that could be like a whole like another 2 hour long conversation, I feel. But that was great. Thank you so much for coming on this week. And before we say goodbye, tell us where we can find the game, where we can buy it, the day it's available. Give us all the media spiel before we say goodbye.
So you can follow Troglobytes games on Steam. You can search the Kidman Remedy and wishlist and follow the game, the studio, and our previous game are Hyper Parasite and Blind Fate and Noyami. Every time we switch genre, okay, you will see also the next one and the other two. We have two games more to be released, sort of, but now we are working on the Kingdom of Remedy to be released on the 16th of November. And yeah, that's I personally thank everyone who will give a bit of some chance to have an open mind and to watch the game, to play this experience and to have an open mind to for everything that comes and the messages that can arrive from this game.
Well, I'm very excited and I'm picking it up day one when it comes out, and so should you.
Thank you,
listener. And then I'll do it for this week. Thank you so much for coming on the show this week, Saverio. It's been a real pleasure. And oh, as always, listeners, please be excellent to each other. Go buy this game, and Italy, if you're listening, just go play some more games in general. They'll make you happier, I guarantee. Yeah, my word. All right, guys. Until next week, take care.
Thank you. Thank you. Very grazie. Bye.
All right. Thanks, man. That was a lot of fun. That was good. So we'll post this on Monday. And I'll send you the links when it goes live. Okay?
Okay. I will have many people letting me, like always.
All right, awesome. That's the best part.
Yeah, there are some announcements. I don't know
nice.
When.
Okay.
I know you are following us, so perhaps you will realize.
And you could always harass me on Discord for you.
Yes, I mean,
send me some links. And
yes.
And I'll share everything as well.
I have to.
All right, have a great night. I think it's like dinner time for you if you haven't ever eaten dinner, but it's like getting late today for you.
Today, go to eat out. Yeah.
Hey. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. I'll see you, man. Take care. Bye.